I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast. Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni, and you are in for a treat today. I've been hunting around for a while to get somebody who would, you know, we're always looking at the different avenues and the different ways that you can utilize and benefit from public speaking. And I've got Judy Robinette, who is like, her bio, her profile is ridiculous in a super good way. She's been in Fast Company, Forbes, all of the major media outlets. She is a super connector, and she has been CEO of public and private companies, as well as spoken at some little places you might have heard of like NASA, MIT, AT&T, Walmart, and is also a fellow TEDx speaker. She's a best-selling author, but more importantly, she is, as I said, a super connector who helps people in the space of venture capital pitching and finding investors, which I know for some of you out there is, and for people that I've worked with, is a problem trying to get through the minefield of how to get in front of the people and then making sure that they say, or you say, the right things to those people. So with all of that big mouthful being said, Judy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I want to fast forward. You've obviously had a ton of success in the past. Your kind of, I guess, CV and bio speak for itself. When did the venture capital world come into play for you, or that space come into it for you?
You know, I did my first startup when I was about 38. It was a franchise restaurant that almost turned into a disaster. I went to a bankruptcy attorney, just terrified, and he said, "You're not close." And I said, "But I'm broke." And he said, "You know, they can break you, but they can't eat you." And I turned that around, sold it, and then I was asked to help this small public company that had been delisted, and they were in litigation and broke. And I became the CEO. I thought, what the heck? It sounds like a fun challenge. And it was. And so I learned how to raise money. And then people came to me and said, geez, I need help raising money. And I became an investor for a while and was really saddened how many people I meet around the world that have really great ideas, couldn't figure out how to find an investor. Mm-hmm. And so after being an investor and helping lots of entrepreneurs, you know, decided to do the book, but, you know, kind of came about it accidentally, but after raising money for a really distressed company, figured out I could help other people.
Cool. I mean, that's, and I think it's something that is super powerful. I know one of my students I helped, and he was, again, going down the same sort of the path. Like, how do I get in front of these investors? Some things happen by a stroke of luck when you're putting yourself out there, but I'm sure that there's a strategic way that people can increase their opportunity to get their ideas out there. If we were to start there, what are some of the key things that, say, people that you've worked with or you helped get in front of different investors, what are the key steps that they can do to start at least getting pitching?
Well, you know, one of the first things I do is have them Google who the local angel investors are in their area. In the US, we have 300 angel groups, and you have many angel groups in Australia. And these people love to coach, love to work with entrepreneurs. And so, you know, what I usually do is have people attend a local angel group or find a pitch event or an incubator that helps startups, or go to your college or university and find some people and talk to them about what you're doing. I teach people my two golden questions. You say, what other ideas do you have for me? And who else do you know I should talk to? And this usually gets them in front of some initial investors. And helps them understand that they need to focus on the investor rather than how great their Kool-Aid is. And yes. And that's really how you position yourself to be a great startup is, you know, you're clear on your exit strategy because, darn it, those investors want their money back.
Yeah.
And that package is so important, like you mentioned, getting the pitch deck and your financial projections.
It's interesting you say that, who else can I speak to? You may or may not get an automated email saying thanks for being on the show tomorrow. And one of the questions out there, and I think this is a good learning lesson, because I love networking, and I love making sure that I love working towards networking as efficiently as I possibly can for a win-win situation. And one of the questions in the email tomorrow is, hey, by any chance, do you know anyone else awesome like yourself who would be a great fit for the show? If so, could I have an introduction? If you don't, I had a previous show, and this isn't a me thing, that had, I did over 200 episodes. Once I was about 50 or 60 in, I didn't have to go out and pitch to people to come onto the show. I just had this continual flow of people coming in, and then they'd refer a few people, and it'd go on from that. So take those two questions, regardless of if you're in the startup world, if you are, they're brilliant questions.
And Victor, I will send you people. And what it allows is, people like me to kind of, tweak my head and go, oh, who could I send to Victor out of the 600 to 1,000 people most of us know?
Yeah.
And having been shy and bullied, it took me a long time to figure out your problem is somebody else's solution. So, I do know some good people, love to be on the show. And those questions work everywhere. They work not only trying to find investors, but in your professional life. And the number one indicator of you being successful in your career is your ability to be an open networker.
And I think there's the other thing of, it's a win-win situation. You look awesome to your friend for thinking of them and referring them, and you look awesome to me for referring somebody to me. So it's like, it's just, and then I get a guest. But on the second note, to dive into it a little bit more, I love Shark Tank. We've got Shark Tank Australia over here, and my favorite investor, he owns an incubator just around the corner from where I live, and his name's Steve Baxter. But he made a lot in the tech space. Late 90s, early 2000s, maybe even earlier than that. And you see people on the show, and he's the clear cut 12 seconds into his pitch, that's a no from me, I'm out. Like, he's very, very clear cut. You don't know your numbers, you don't know this, or hey, this is retail space, this is, but he doesn't take them along for a ride. And I realized Shark Tank is a artificial arena, where there's it's not necessarily the real pitching world, but if you were in front of him on any other day, not with the cameras on, and you had a retail idea that wasn't in the tech space, you are wasting everybody's time, your own and his, by not knowing the right investors to be in front of. So I think that's it's a super important side of things with the actual pitching. So putting together a pitch deck, because like I say, people see Shark Tank. I've had friends who have been on it and been successful and not successful. We see a 90-second pitch, once it's all trimmed and edited. And I know I've talked to them, and it's a lot longer. If for investors out there, or people, looking for investment, what does a pitch deck kind of look like and entail, and what are the key things that you'd say people should be looking for, and the time duration they should be kind of looking for?
Well, for angel groups, it's typically 10 minutes, and those are professional kind of angel groups, and pitch events often are shorter, like you said, kind of like speed dating. But it's important. The number one thing that they focus on is the team, because they're investing in you, the founder, and the team. They want to know that you can execute. The second thing is, we call it product market fit, or as investors say, will the dog eat the dog food? Yep. And then third is probably, what is your go-to-market strategy? How are you going to scale this into a successful business? There needs to be something about the competition, something about your marketing. But I tell people, really set yourself apart by being seen as a high potential startup, being clear on your exit, having comparables, and then mitigating risk as viewed by the investors. And you can do that by having some powerful guys or gals on your advisory board that will lend credibility to you. And, the three things, I call them the three C's, the angels in particular want to know you're coachable. Are you going to listen to me? This isn't, I'm going to fund you, forget you kind of a deal. The second one is you have to have some character. Usually the first time you come across as arrogant or a know-it-all, you're dead, you're toast. Or, you know, you exaggerate, or, you know, if I just get one half of 1% of the Chinese market, this company will be worth $1 billion next year. Well, you know, that shows me your thinking isn't good.
Yeah.
And the last C is confidence. And you have to have a level of confidence and passion, because things will get hard. You'll have to pivot. 70% of startups will hit the wall, need to pivot. And it's, you know, happened with everything from the drug Viagra, which was never intended. It was, you know, it was a serious pivot. Post-it notes, the same thing happened too. And so they want to know that you're coachable and you can be taught.
Yeah. And I think that's a big change of mindset with a lot of people going in. They think they're leading with the idea.
Yeah.
And they're like, if I was an investor sitting on the other side and I can see someone so hooked and connected to their idea, then you go, well, if that idea doesn't hit the market, can you pivot? Like, yeah, I've listened to tons of podcasts. I listened to one about Twitch TV, which is the live streaming gaming. A lot of people use it, and it's huge. But it started from like Justin TV, where it was a guy wearing cameras around all day on slow internet connections, to something else, to something else, to something else. And then it just happened that people started using it for gaming streaming. And then it took off, and that was like a 10-year period. And I think, if I'm not an investor, I'd love to be one day, but it's one of those things that I'm going, okay, do you know your market? Like, can you show me that you understand what your market, what problem you're solving for your market? Do the numbers match up? And can you, you know, instead of people going, yeah, it's going to cost $5 a unit. Can you say it's going to cost, when you say the confidence, it's going to cost $5 a unit, and the manufacturers we've talked to, as we get economies of scale, it's going to look at, you know, $2.50 to $2, which will then make us profitable. Upfront, we're going to run neutral for the first, 9 months. Like, to me, that's like, oh, okay, somebody knows their numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you go, and then we aim to build blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we've looked at, I don't know, Sanitarium or whatever, and they've had a very similar product, and then they sold it off to, you know, some other place. And yeah, that's what our exit strategy is going to look like. Yeah,
exactly. Well, and you mentioned Twitch. So the co-founder of Twitch is a Y Combinator, which is arguably the best incubator in the world, or one of. And I just watched a little podcast he did, and he said, forget about great ideas, carry around a notebook and look at problems to solve. And his was, you know, we need a live reality TV show. And that's what it started with. And he talked about how important it is to, like you said, make sure you listen to that customer and pivot. You know, it's like, who's going to open their wallet for you?
Yeah. And it's so I think those are, I mean, it's an awesome insight from the 10, like, let's say I walk into you, I've given you a 10-minute, let's start a little bit earlier. Leading up to it, I've organized my 10-minute pitch or presentation. I've done my research. I've got the three C's somewhat covered. And what's going to happen leading up to it? Is it just, here's a date, I'm going to, you know, turn up, walk in?
Well, if you've applied and they've accepted to hear you pitch, but if and I suggest people, before they do that, they find a successful entrepreneur, an attorney who specializes in startups, and get three or four people to listen to you, so you practice. So they can say, hey, here's a question I have, so you don't get blindsided and you're standing like a deer in headlights. And most entrepreneurs, most investors actually are happy to sit down. There's a guy close to me in Salt Lake City, Utah, that did a $1 billion exit. And if you buy him lunch, he'll spend 2 hours with you, kind of planning and plotting, as I call it. And so if you get that ahead of time, then you're going to be ready for, the real on stage kind of event, which is helpful. It will reduce your anxiety. And also it's nice if you can get warm referrals. Corrigan VC in New York had a blog this month, and they talked about every single deal that they'd invested in came from a referral. So it's important to start building those relationships first. Get that story out there before you show up to pitch.
Yeah, nice. And then I've come to you, I've pitched this 10-minute presentation. Immediately after, what generally happens?
Well, you usually go outside and there's usually about three other people that pitch. And then at the end of the meeting, the angels get together and talk and say, you know, raise of hands, how many people are interested in Victor's company, you know, and half the hands go up, and then they notify you that they're interested in moving forward. They will usually have a second meeting where they'll go through much more depth on the financials and start due diligence, which is, you know, pretty seriously looking at the bios of your team. Some angel groups even do background checks on you, but they're going to talk to industry experts, make sure that you're, you know, one of the most important things is the size of your market that determines what the return is back to the investors. And so they'll start the due diligence process, and then hopefully that will lead to an offer to you to a term sheet. And if you get one of those, I tell you to go out, shop it, and you can use that as the lead investor, because most angel groups can only do about 250,000. Yeah. So that you're golden if you've got your first term sheet.
Yeah. Okay. And then you can go, was it Series A?
A, yeah.
Yep. And then your Series B. So the first one, it's like friends or family, Series A type, the friends or family to get yourself off the ground, and then get a lead investor, and then a Series A and a Series B, and then make billions, have an exit, and then pay it forward. It's pretty much the ecosystem, isn't it? It's just
pretty
easy.
You know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, what if you don't want to do an exit, you just have a lifestyle company? And he said, I get people that say that to me all the time. And I said, you know, that's great. They can do that. But let them know that the average exit is 65 million.
And then you have a hell of a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's the big thing, that it's, you know, realistically, it's try and grow it yourself, and then try and list it on the stock market, or get it bought out, or get angel investors and get it bought out, or get it listed on the stock market. So if you've got an idea and you want it leveraged, it's you know, it's not necessarily the only way, but it's a hell of a good way to, I think, you don't have to go to the bank, because instead you're getting money plus knowledge, expertise, resources, connections, and things like
that. And you really want that expertise, and you know, you want smart money. And I talk about, you know, there's bad money. You need to do due diligence on the investors and make sure this isn't like a litigious guy who's going to try to steal your company. And that's not common, but it happens. And so you do need to do your due diligence, you know, on these investors, and make sure they're you know, they're good people. But the most important thing about angels is they've usually been there and done it, and they want to coach. I mean, they want to help you get to a good exit, because it benefits win-win for both of you.
Yeah. And what are the biggest mistakes you see people pitching to investors make?
Yeah. So, you know, I often see people that have not gone out and done their homework, and they say silly things like 0.5% of the Chinese market. You know, you need to build your sales forecast from the bottom up. I've had people say, well, we've got no competition. Well, if you have no competition, there's no market. Just not having any understanding really of their numbers. You know, they'll forecast some big sales number by next year, you know, we're going to be at 5 million. And I look at their financials, and there's no salespeople to be paid. It's like, how are you going to do that when you don't have this? Yeah. And not being able to talk about what is the cost to acquire a customer? How much is it going to really cost you to get there? And you know, just not doing your homework. And a lot of that is alleviated by going, you can go to an incubator. A lot of places are happy to help you for free. Make sure you get the pitch deck right, and they've brought up solid questions that a serious investor is going to ask you.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I think like a couple of people that I've helped with, and I'm no expert in it, but the whole, I look at it as a sales presentation. Whereas how many objections can you overcome in your 5 to 10 minutes that they're not then going to ask you? Because to me, if I'm sitting on the other end and you've covered, oh, okay, that's what the manufacturing costs are. That's what the cost of acquisition is. That's what my team's going to cover. I've got a marketing person. I've got a CFO in place. I've got a board of advisors who are in place. All of those things are covered, so that I've got less reason to say no and more reason to say yes at the end of it. And I think it doesn't
absolutely You know, you want to make it easy for them to say yes. We call it having no hair on the deal. So, you know, if you've gotten money from friends and family, you better have it documented.
Yep.
Very important where you have your company incorporated. Those things make it easy for the investor to say yes.
Yeah, you give them headaches and they're like, look, I'm not, you know, they're not grinding it out for their next paycheck anymore. So don't give them any more headaches. Look,
and you don't have to have all of the answers, Victor. I mean, people can bring up objections and you can say, you know, that's a great point, and let me get back to you on that. And bingo, that shows you're coachable.
Yeah. It's an awesome point actually, because yeah, it's not a fake it till you make it when you're in there, because 100% of the time, apart from probably knowing the market, hopefully, yeah, they're going to know more about the business and the marketing and the logistics and the headaches that you're going to face in the future. So you don't need to lie. The only thing you may have is more knowledge about the technology or the actual whatever that you've got. So yeah, don't try and fake it. Look, that is, I think, a huge, and I don't want to kind of saturate everybody, but I hope for everybody out there who's ever even thought about pitching to investors for their business or for growing their business or for a startup, or that in the process of it, that I hope and I have no doubt that this will help them and give them some insights. You've got an awesome new book, best-selling book. I will link it at publicspeakingblueprint.com, but I'd love it if you could tell people a little bit about it before we head off.
Yeah, so I wrote the book, Victor, because I couldn't stand, I'd go around the world and meet great people who couldn't figure out how to get funded. And having been an investor, you know, it's tricky. It's almost mystical. And I wanted to demystify the process to make it really, really simple to help people be successful. So it's written in real world language. It's got stories from VCs and angels. Family offices are now seeing more deals than the VCs. And so I go through that funding ecosystem, who could be the right investor for you, lots of resources, and including due diligence lists and term sheets and all of that.
Awesome. Well, we'll link all of that at publicspeakingblueprint.com. It's called Crank the Funding Code: How Investors Think and What They Need to Hear to Fund Your Startup. So, Judy, I just want to thank you so much. If people want to find out more about you or get in touch, where can they go or what can they do?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, Judy Robinette, no E on the end. You can email me, judy@judyrobinette.com, and I'm on Twitter, Instagram, so reach out. I'm happy to help.
Awesome. Well, I will, again, link all of that, publicspeakingblueprint.com, where you can get this and all the previous episodes. I thank you so much, and if I ever jump into the startup world, I know who I will be talking to.
Thank you.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.